it's a beautiful day to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. And for all you fathers out there, happy Father's Day to all the dads. And when I mean dads, I'm talking about those include granddads, stepdads, adopted dads, many kinds of dads. And let me say a few things up front this morning. One, I love being a dad. I really do. And my adventure into fatherhood began in 1990. I was 23 years old and at the time, and today I have two daughters, four grandchildren, and one of my daughters just had a birthday on Friday. And I know that Mother's Day is a special day, and that moms come to church, they invite their kids come to church, even if they don't go, they go because mom asked them to. And that Father's Day is traditionally a day that dads come to church and are kind of slapped around a little bit and told to step up and because they're doing such a terrible job. I mean, that's the way society is looking at dads right now. We are not going to do that this morning. I've always found that wearing the title of father, one of the titles that God has, father, is an incredible honor and responsibility. Number four, dads, despite what modern culture has to say and what our secular media has to say, and they do say a lot, we are not the enemy. We have just as much responsibility in raising and our kids as mothers do. So I have a question for you. What do 90% of homeless and runaway children, 63% of youth who commit suicide, 80% of all rapists, 85% of children with behavioral problems, 71% of all high school dropouts, 75% of all teens that are in chemical abuse centers, 85% of youth that are in prison, 70% of all girls who become pregnant as teens have in common one parent. Now, that's not saying you have just a mom or just a dad, but it's one of the two. And I know there's been a lot of debate on the importance of fathers in the home in recent years, and that's the way that God designed the family, right? God designed the family to have a father, a mother, and children. And let me say up front, that though many single moms can and often do not just a great but an awesome job, it still does not diminish the importance of dad in the life of a child. I mean, it's how the Creator set up the universe. He wired it and he set the system up. Number five, I recognize that just like Mother's Day, Father's Day can be pretty tough, especially if you had a great dad, a great father who's no longer here, and you really miss him. Or maybe your dad was not around. Or maybe he was around, and things were really not that good, and it still kind of hurts a little bit. Or maybe you're a dad, and you're afraid that you're measuring up. The bar is set up here, and you think you're hanging out down here somewhere. I recognize that holidays, like Father's Day, come with an emotional charge. And six, my goal today is first and foremost to honor God and our Heavenly Father, and second, to honor dads in this room. And when I say dads, I'm talking about dads, stepdads, foster dads, adopted dads, granddads, and all the kids who are their children's friends who call you dad. I don't know how many kids down that are friends with my daughters, they call me dad and they hug me because they didn't have a dad. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to not only honor you, the greatest father, our greatest father, but also each and every father in this room. Those that are fathers through birth, those who are fathers through marriage, and those who are dads because they've just stepped up and decided to be the role model for some young child in their life. So Lord, we just ask today, as we go through this message about fathers, that you give us all your peace, all your grace that we need in order to step up and be the fathers that you need us to be. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I know it's the weekend and it's early, so maybe you're here and you're not sure if you're a dad. Well, the point I would like to help you out with a little bit is that if you have ever, after finishing your super-sized Big Mac, extra-large Coke, and extra-large fries, began to invade your four-year-old's Happy Meal, you might be a dad. If you've ever started out a lecture on any topic with the following six words, back when I was your age, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Walked up in the snow both ways. Borrowed your son's car to take your wife out on a date in order to impress her. I haven't actually done that one. Gave your teenage daughter a pair of sweatpants to wear over the new shorts that she just had to have. Tried to hurry along your wife's labor on December 31st so you could get the tax deduction. Met your 16-year-old girl's daughter's boyfriend at the door with some kind of firearm. I know that's personal. That happened to me. What happened to most of the white boys that married white girls. If you have ever had your shirt covered with vomit that didn't come from your own stomach, considered the creative use of duct tape as a behavior modification tool. I almost wrote a book once called Parenting by Duct Tape. If the mean expectancy of a $20 bill in your wallet falls to less than 5 minutes, you're probably a dad. If the tiny bathroom with the locking door has become your last bastion and fortress and solitude, realize that it's been 5 years since you saw a movie that didn't have a talking animal or was a cartoon, you might be a dad. If you've passed gas in the car and blamed it on your son or your daughter, you're probably a dad. If you've allowed a group of 6 to 8-year-old girls to paint your toenails, you're probably a dad. Found yourself hugging a 22-year-old man because his wife just left him. If you've been overwhelmed with emotion when a young boy asked you to baptize him, then you just might be a dad. Okay, so are there any dads out there this morning? Fathers, grandfathers. Now, if you're like most men, even those who had a poor, harmful experience with their own fathers, you have a general idea of what kind of father you would like to be. Because you're sitting in church today, and God says, I've set up the exact role model for what a father needs to be, and I've given it to you in an app called the Bible. I mean, you want to be the kind of dad those children feel secure, confident, loved, and accepted by. Save, you want to make sure that they save sex for marriage and remain faithful to their spouse in marriage. You want to develop a reputation as men and women of integrity in them, honesty, and a strong, hard work ethic. Hey, I think me and Steve Tower, we're talking about the work ethic in kids nowadays, and that it is lacking in a few areas. And part of that is our own fault. If you want to stand up to unhealthy peer pressure and develop healthy friendships with your kids, to have them to say no to drugs, to alcohol, to risky behavior, to have them quickly admit their mistakes, who are forgiving and patient with other people and kids, and who enjoy a healthy sense of self-esteem and self-confidence. Have kids that love God and put Him and His church at the center of their lives. There is nothing more than a that a mother and a father want than to see their kids grow up, not only in the church, but have a relationship with God. Amen? Who overhears his daughter saying to her friend, "When I get married, I want to marry a guy just like my dad." Whose children, even when they're all grown up, call you and say, "Hey, Dad, I'm really struggling. I could use some advice." Or, "Hey, Dad, my hot water tank is leaking." Or, "Dad, can you come over and fix this?" Whose children have a hard time picking out a Father's Day card, not because they say too much, but because they say too little. It's hard to sum up what a dad does on a little card. Same thing with moms. Yeah, that's the kind of father we all want to be, right? We want to be that kind of father that when your kids are in trouble or when kids face different situations, they have no problems going and talking to their dad. Now, where do they go most of the time? First, mom, right? But there are some problems moms can't solve, especially when it comes to hot water tanks. And I know that I am not everything that I should be as a father. And I also know for me to do this, I need to be a model. I need to be an example. I need to be a dad that can pattern myself after a father from whom I can imitate. I need someone to imitate how to be a father. But just where do we find such a father? Where do we look? I'll give you a hint. It's in the Dad Manual or on the Dad app. You know, this week I started thinking about how we live in this crazy age of gadgets and technology. Like this thing that I'm holding in my hand right now. This thing is pretty amazing. You'd have to agree. This thing in my hand has more computing speed and power than the computer that was on the Apollo mission that went to the moon. Did you know that? Checks my email. Checks my email. Sends text messages. I can video with my kids down in Georgia instantaneously and see their faces and watch them smile thousands of miles away. I have downloaded apps that will help me update my Facebook and my Pinterest page, check the golf scores on who's winning the U.S. Open right now, and if I go golfing all the yardages to the holes. I have access to my bank account. I can do my Bible reading and my Bible reading plans on my phone. I can watch Netflix, listen to Christian music, read stuff from Fox News or the Next News Network, listen to podcasts of other pastors, love Alistair Begg, access to the internet for Google to do searches. See, I'm not that smart, but Google seems to have a lot of the answers. So if somebody asks me, hey, I'll get right back with you. Look it up on Google. And it also makes phone calls, right? How many people in here don't have a home phone anymore? I'm one of them. I got rid of it. I don't need it. Well, this week I was thinking how awesome it would be if there was a dad app. You know, an app that we could download. And that app would show me how to, oh, here's what a dad would do in this situation. And here's the model or what a perfect dad looks like. Now, that would be an app worth downloading. But it's not on there. And you know, there really is a dad app. It's called the Bible. And there really is a perfect model dad, and that's our Heavenly Father, who set an example for us. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day, let's see what we can learn about being a dad by looking at our Heavenly Father. Now, before we open up our dad apps this morning, I want to say four quick things to every dad out there. That's dad, stepdad, adopted dad, whatever. First of all, be positive. Be positive about being a dad. And the difference you can make, that you were actually designed to make the difference in the life of your kids. Two, be realistic. Okay? You can't do everything. Don't be overwhelmed by what you aren't doing. Rather, focus on some small step that you can take every week. And listen, over time, these small steps that you take will add up and make a huge impact in your kids' lives. Number three, be determined. Be determined. Really dedicate yourself to the privilege and the responsibility of being a dad or a grandfather. Make being the dad you want to be one of the top priorities in your life. And remember, direction, not intention, determines your destination. Let me say that again. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Four, be hopeful. Be hopeful. Yes, our society has gone downhill a lot in the last 30, 40 years. But hopefully you can become the dad that you want to be. And let me tell you where this hope rests. It rests on what one author calls the father connection. Now understand, dads, that as we take our relationship with our Heavenly Father seriously, not only will we be more willing to be the dad that we want to be, but we will literally be empowered to be the dad that we want to be. Following God, following our Heavenly Father, will give you the power that you need in order to be the dad that your kid needs you to be. You see, God is not only a role model for us as a father, but He's also the fuel to get us there as well. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. A few quick insights from the Dad app. Note to self, this is not an exhaustive list. We will only introduce some insights this morning. And remember, the goal is not for us, for there to be a source of discouragement, but of hope and direction and involvement. Genesis 2:7. I'm going to start at the beginning of the Dad app. Then God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. Now understand, right from the beginning, we see God wanting to be involved in our lives. In the beginning, we see God, our Heavenly Father's desire was to be with us, to be involved in the lives of His people. After He created the garden and Adam and Eve, what did He do in the cool of the evening? He walked around in the garden with Adam and Eve. Dads, to become the dads that we want to be requires involvement. We have to be involved in our kids' lives. And listen, to make this a reality is a lot harder than we think because we're busy. Now imagine me, I was in the military. I'd be gone for 6 months, sometimes a year at a time. But when I was home, I was present. I was there for my kids. I tried to be, because for the time that I was gone, I was a phone call away. Sometimes we're pulled in so many different directions by so many different things and people, we're tired at the end of the day. Because yes, someone has to make a paycheck. And yes, someone has to put food on the table and mow the lawn and all those other things that dads have to do. And we're tired at the end of the day because it will take time, which we do not have much of. And I remember hearing a guy, anybody here familiar with Promise Keepers? Okay, Promise Keepers. There's a guy named Gary Roseberg that was speaking at a Promise Keepers a decade or so ago. And he had a picture that his daughter had drawn, and it had the wife and the sisters and the brothers, the dog, the house, the yard, and everything else. And he looked at his daughter and he says, isn't there something missing? And she says, no, Daddy, you're at the office. And it really hit him hard. And he actually put the picture up on the screen for us all to see. And instead of it being something that got him down, it motivated him to make a difference. Even though the thought hurt, he kept the picture and he said, dads, to become the dad we want to be requires us to be involved. Yeah, I'm sure. Some of us are at the office. Some of us are out doing things. But when you're present with your kids, be present with your kids. Again, don't just beat yourself up. All right? No father is perfect except for our Heavenly Father. Amen? Just ask yourself this question. What small step can I take this week to be more involved in my children's or my grandchildren's life? And by the way, fellow Jesus followers, our Heavenly Father already has taken every necessary step that needs to be made in order to be involved in our lives. He's just waiting for us to take time for Him. And yes, I'm still not drinking soda. Still drinking water. And I haven't died yet. Love and acceptance. Okay? Love and acceptance. Now, there are literally hundreds of scriptures through the Bible that speak of God's love for His children. We love God because He what? He first loved us. John 4:19. But God showed His great love for us in this way, that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Listen, God didn't wait for us to meet His expectations. So don't have this picture-perfect thing of what your kid or your grandkid is supposed to look like. And once he looks like that, then you'll love him. No, you love him anyways. Even if they fall short, even if they make mistakes, you got to still love them. God didn't wait for us to meet His expectations. He didn't wait for us to make Him proud. He didn't wait for us to measure up to His standards. Because can we ever measure up to God's standards? No. That bar is set way too high. The only time we're going to meet God's standard is when we get up to heaven and we're glorified. The rest of the time, be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet, right? Now understand, the Father spoke His love for us in the Word, in the Dad app. He spoke His love to us. He wrote His love for us in the blood on the cross. And He poured out His love on us through adoption as sons and daughters, right? He adopted us. We became His children. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. 1 John 3:1. Now, the Father loved us first and foremost. Even the death of His one and only Son could not stand in the way of His love for us. And He also loves us forever. Many scriptures talk about God's enduring love. This phrase, the enduring love of God, happens in one chapter of the Bible, and it says it 26 times in Psalm 136 alone. How enduring God's love is. And when we close today, I'll read Psalm 136, and you'll see just how many times it says that God's love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 136:1. The Father's love for us is complete. There's nothing that God's love is lacking. It's constant and it's unconditional. No matter what we do, God still loves us. We cannot escape it and we cannot erase it. He may be angry when we disobey Him, or saddened when we stray off the path from Him, or maybe even sorrowful when we sin. But He never, and I mean never, stops loving us. God can never love you more than he loves you now. And he can never love you any more than he will, even if you're perfect. No matter what you do, God will not love you any more or any less. We read in Romans chapter 8. You got your dad apps open. Romans 8, 38. Sorry. Romans 8. Wrong page. Romans 8, 38. There in your Bible, say amen. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate us from God? Nothing. Nothing can get in the way, even us. Isn't that amazing? We can't even get in the way. That's the kind of father that I want to be. No matter what my kids do, I still love them. And I want my kids to know that. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what happens in your life, I love you. I love you and I accept you. I love them long before they could return my love. I love them when their primary interaction with me involved bottles, burps, and dirty diapers. Did you love your kids back then? Well, yeah, they were cute, right? And stinky and messy. Right? But my love for them was not based on anything they did or didn't do. Right? Kids are our kids, and we love them because they're our kids. But I love them on who they are, my kids. There was a guy named John Trent, and he gave this illustration called the gumball illustration. It tells a story. He takes his daughter to the mall, and she always wanted to get a big gumball out of the big gumball machine. Well, one time she put her quarter in the machine and no gumball came out, and he had to explain to his daughter, explain to a three-year-old why a gumball didn't come out. Trent goes on to say that so many kids do what they think they will do to get a blessing from their dad, and nothing comes out. Kids are going to try to do what kids do in order to make dad proud of them. But we don't always express our pride, do we? Sometimes we're too busy mowing the lawn, fixing hot water tanks, other things. When our kids do something noteworthy, we need to praise them for it. Some dads just keep their blessings out of reach. And I know myself, my dad never told me he was proud of me until I was almost 40 years old. I want my kids, my grandkids, to know that I love them first and foremost. Kids, grandkids, adopted kids, my girls' friends down south that all call me dad. I want them all to know that I love them. My job, my hobbies, my friends are not more important than they are. Listen, I love golfing. I love doing other things, but nothing's more important than our kids and our grandkids, right? They don't have to earn my love. They don't have to do anything to be loved. They cannot erase my love. In other words, if they do something bad or wrong, I'm still going to love them. May not agree with what they're doing, but I'm still going to love them. And they will never escape my love. A friend of mine came up to me and he says, I'm having struggles. My daughter is having an inappropriate relationship, and I don't know what to say. I think I'm just gonna cut her off, and I'm not gonna talk to her. And I said, well, how are you gonna have a relationship with her if you're not talking to her? I said, you may not agree with what she's doing, but if you break that relationship, how are you gonna fix it if you don't have any communication with them? And that goes for us too. Keep the lines of communication open between you and your kids, you and your grandkids. Never, ever let them doubt that you love them. That's the kind of father that I want to be. The one who loves his kids and grandkids the way that God loves me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And any of you who've ever been married before, you've probably heard most of this. 13, 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked and thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and then it finishes up with love never fails. You want to raise some good kids? Actually, you want to raise some great kids. You want to raise some great grandkids. Make sure that they're loved. And if they know that they're loved, it'll make a big difference in their life. Encourage. Encourage your kids. Understand, throughout the scriptures, we find God the Father encouraging His children. God encouraged us. Remember Moses at the burning bush? God tells him, go to Egypt and set my people free. And Moses is mumbling and stuttering, and he's like, but I can't speak. And he says, don't worry about it. I'll send Aaron with you. But I'm just one man. He says, throw that stick down. Okay? Listen, if God asks you to do something, God tells you to do something, He's going to give you the power and the ability to do it. You look in the mirror and you say, ain't happening. God says, oh yeah, it is. You may not believe in yourself, but I believe in you. Gideon, standing in a grain bin, and an angel shows up and he calls him mighty warrior. And of course, Gideon probably looks around and says, who are you talking to? He goes, I'm talking to you, mighty warrior. Joshua, as he crosses the Red Sea and he gets ready to do battle with all of God's enemies, starting in Jericho and all the rest of the promised land. As he sets out to conquer the promised land, Joshua 1:9 says, This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord God, is with you wherever you go. And brothers and sisters, if you look around right here, if you are a member of God's family, God is with you wherever you go. It doesn't matter. Matthew 3:17, this is my son, whom I love and whom I'm well pleased in. That is the kind of father that I want to be. A dad who encourages by his words, his presence, and his assistance. Listen, your kids are going to fall down. Your grandkids are going to fall down. They're going to make mistakes. Be there to pick them up, dust them off, set them back on their feet and say, all right, try it again. You know? And it may be the 8th, 9th, 10th time you have to do it, but still, if you're there and you're involved in their life and they know that you love them, they'll walk through brick walls for you. But I want to be a dad who encourages not only with words, but my presence, and I want to be there to assist them when they need help. Now understand, there's power in our words. You ever seen a kid just get destroyed? They come home with a straight A report card and dad's too busy to even look at it and they got straight A's. You ever see a kid go sit on their bed and just cry because they work so hard all year long just to get that A's on the report card and dad's too busy to pay attention? That was me. Listen, I'm guilty too. And listen, if anyone knows which is more our personal nature, it's our kids. Our kids know us, don't they? They know us when we're being our real selves, and they know when we're play acting, right? In front of other people. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like a sword, But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Listen, even when our kids do wrong, we must never, never crush their spirit. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building other people up." Does that include your kids? Yeah, that includes your kids and your grandkids. "According to their needs." Some kids need more encouragement than other kids do. "That it may benefit those who listen." Ephesians 4:29. Dads, grandfathers, let's commit today to begin to speak more encouraging words to our kids. See, this society out there is offering them a temporary fix. Oh, if you do this, then this is going to, it'll make you feel so good. If you do this or go here or do that, then you're going to be happy. Listen, if they can't find it at home, if they can't find it with their mother and their father, they're going to go into the world and they're going to find something that not only looks good, smells good, and tastes good, but in the end is really poison. It's going to destroy their lives. We need to speak words that heal, words that strengthen, rather than negative words which wound and discourage. You know, there's a Christian author named John Eldridge, and he says it like this. He said, "Your son or daughter, no matter how old, will always want to and need to hear those words from you. You have what it takes, and you're worth fighting for." You have what it takes, and you're worth fighting for. Dads, let your daughters know that you think she's beautiful, that you think she's smart, that she's talented, and that you believe in her. Dads, let your sons know that you think that they're capable, they could do it, they can accomplish anything, and that you believe in them. We wonder sometimes why our churches are so empty of kids, because we are not speaking the right message to them. We are not speaking. Dads, we need to try to catch them doing something right and commend them for it. Okay? Look for things to praise your kids for. When they pick up the garbage and they take it out to the curb and you haven't asked them, don't say nothing. And if you have the possibility, do it in front of other people so that they can hear it. "You are my son and my daughter, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Again, dads, what small step can you take this week with your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your daughter's daughter, or daughter's favorite friend who calls you dad? Talk a little bit about discipline. Tough subject, especially nowadays. Spank a kid and they'll take your kid away from you. Now, if you've been around First Baptist for the last 2 years, as we've studied God's story in the Bible, we've seen a lot of examples about God disciplining His children. Who are His children? We are. Not to pay them back, but to bring them back to Him and to the life that He created them to live. That's what God wants in our life, and that's what we should want for our kids' lives, right? The Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. Proverbs 3:12. All children are disciplined by their fathers. If you are never disciplined, and every child must be disciplined, you are not true children. We all have had fathers here on earth who disciplined us, and we respected them. So it's even more important that we discipline from the father. That we accept discipline from the Father of our spirits so that we will have life. Our fathers on earth discipline us for a short time, and in that way they thought which was best. But God disciplines us to help us so that we can become holy like He is. We do not enjoy being disciplined, and I might say I don't enjoy passing out discipline either. It's painful for a time, but later, after we have learned from it, we have peace because we start living in the right way. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. Question. Why do we discipline our kids? What is the motivation for disciplining our kids? First of all, love. Love. If you don't discipline your kids, the world will tell them stories and they will believe them. To teach them that that wrong actions have negative consequences. If you steal something when you're five, a cookie, a piece of pie, whatever, dad says, no, that's not right, put that back. Or go to your room. Discipline. Because in the real world, if you walk into a shopping mall and you steal something, what happens? You go to jail. You get arrested. So if we teach our kids in our homes, when they get out into the world, they will not be disciplined. By planning ahead, by sticking to your guns. If you set down rules and they break them and you don't follow through, they're going to think that they can break all kinds of rules. And there are not going to be any consequences. And sometimes we need to employ mercy. Because we have received what? We've received mercy. I'm not perfect. I make lots of mistakes. So discipline them. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Do not bring them to anger. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. This is out of Deuteronomy. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk to them about where you are at. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are rising up or getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts and on the house and on the gates. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. You ever seen a Jewish person walking around? He had that little box up here on his forehead. Or when they walked out the door, how many people watched Chosen? How many people watched The Chosen? All right? When they walk out the door, kiss their hands, touch the little thing that's on the little box that's right there. Same thing. It's got Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8 on it. Okay? It's got the law written on it. They talk to their kids day and night about the law of the Lord. Be a refuge. This is probably one of the most important things I'm going to tell you today. Be a refuge. Besides loving your children, be a refuge for them. At the lowest point in his life, having been persuaded and persecuted by the king, the father of his best friend, a former shepherd boy named David, lived in hiding. Now here's David's pedigree. He had been a national hero, but now he was in exile. He had been a member of the king's court, but now he was sleeping in a cave. He had been the anointed as the next king of Israel, but now his future was looking dark. He had mercifully spared King Saul's life, but now King Saul was seeking to kill him. David's problems loomed so large that he felt like a man among lions. You ever felt like food before? Yeah. He trembled like a child among hungry beasts, he says. And finally, in distress, David turns to God. David turns to his father, his God, and he cries out in Psalm 57, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until disaster is past." Are you going to be the wings that your kids hide under, your grandkids hide under until the storm in their life is past? I hope so. I hope I can be that. Within a few years, though, David became king, defeated all his enemies, united the kingdom in turmoil, and won the respect and regard of his people. How were such things accomplished? To go from where he was at to where he is now. And David provides the answer in the Psalms. I love you, Lord. O Lord, my strength, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. That's the kind of dad I want to be. That's the kind of dad that I'm going to strive for. Yeah, I know that I can't be the Almighty, or as all-knowing as God is. And obviously, I want my children to be the first and foremost to turn to God as a refuge first. Nevertheless, I still want to be a refuge. When my grandchildren are having a hard time, I want them to be able to pick up the phone and call Papa and Mimi. You know, I'm having this problem. Hopefully they could turn to their mom and dad, but mom and dad don't give them the right answer. I hope they could turn to me. I want my kids to know that there's always a safe place that they can run to. No matter what's happening in life, there's a safe place. I want them to know that they can come to me for refuge from the storms of life. Listen, you're going to go through storms in your life, and so are your kids. The question is, where is your kid's anchor in the storm? Is it you? Is it yours? Your house? Is it your grandmother's? Your parents' house? When they face things like attacks from their peers, and this thing isn't always good. There's a lot of bad that can happen on here too. The pressures of adolescence, just being a kid and growing up, not getting picked for the football team. Disappointment, pain, heartache, ridicule, fear. And you know that my being a refuge will require that I be alert and be sensitive and observant to my children. Not only their moods, but their words as well. You know better than anybody when your kids are acting abnormal. When your kids are not acting like your kids, you know it. Something's wrong. Don't just finish making spaghetti, shut the burner off, and go find out what's going on with your kids, right? I mean, I'll have to develop and refine the art of listening. Listening. That's kind of a skill in our generation that's kind of going by the wayside. We do a lot of talking and not a lot of listening. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to correct, slow to reprimand, slow to instruct, or to correct, remand, instruct, and advise. It will mean that I will have to become more approachable. What do I mean by approachable? Okay? I want kids to be able to come up to me, my kids, your kids, whoever's kids, to come up to me and know that I'm approachable, that they can come to me and tell me anything. All right? If you stick out your hand and I slap it away, how many times will you continue to approach me? Exactly. And finally, in closing, I know that being a refuge will require my coming alongside of my kids when they're in need. I have to set aside something that I'm doing to help my kids. That's a price I'm willing to pay. Helping them, picking them up and dusting them off. And here's the things that it takes to be a dad. Involvement. You got to be involved. Love and acceptance. Okay? Love and acceptance. Encouragement. Encourage your kids. Discipline your children. Yeah, I said it. Discipline your children. Whether you do it with a belt, whether you stand them in a corner and make them sit at a table and read Bible verses. However you choose to discipline your child, make sure you discipline your child. Disciple. Be an example. Read your Bible. Pray. Have your kids see you reading your Bible and praying. And when you can, pray with them. Show them and give them an example to follow. And at last, be a refuge. Be someplace that your kids can flee to when the world is falling apart and they got no place else to go. Make sure that your door is always open and unlocked. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to have Don come back up, and we'll sing one more song, and then I'm going to read read one of our psalms. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity today to speak to the fathers of this church, the men who are required to stand in the gap sometimes, to defend our families, to say that's enough, to say not in my house, to say for as me and my house we will serve the Lord, to love our children, faults and all. Lord, we just ask that you give us the strength that we need, the ears to hear and the heart to be the fathers that you need us to be. And in all these things, we will give you the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fierce drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
As I said earlier, I'm going to close with Psalm 136. And this tells us how much God loves us. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. I'll give thanks to the God of gods, for His love endures forever. I'll give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders, for His love endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His love endures forever. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His love endures forever. The sun to rule the day, because His love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, because His love endures forever. To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, because His love endured forever, and brought out of Israel from among, for His love endures forever. And with a strong hand, and with an outstretched hand, with outstretched arm, His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, because His love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, because His love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, because His love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, because His love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, because His love endures forever, and slew famous kings, because His love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His love endures forever, and Og, king of Bashan, for His love endures forever. And He gave their land as a heritage, for His love endures forever, a heritage to Israel, His servant, because His love endures forever. And if you keep reading Psalm 136, it keeps on going and going and going, because His love endures forever. Lord, we thank you today. We ask that we keep in our minds today not only the fathers in our lives, those who have molded and shaped us, those who have gave of themselves so that we could be the people who are called the children of God, but those who helped us in our spiritual walk as well. And Lord, we know that through your love that endures forever, nothing can hold us back, nothing can stop us until we're together face to face and we can thank you in person, because we know that your love endures forever. And Lord, we will give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Go with God.